when I was doing the caretaking, but I was visiting her, and it was the morning after her 80th birthday. So I have the morning after 80, and I'm also putting a little chat in to the a message that says, I'd like everybody to sign in their name and some info so we can keep in touch. The morning after 80, family portraits and pain, years of alienation from what? Truthful mama murmurings, times of trying triumph, the successful blending of elements that cannot be blended, appears to have become the family. Structure as the sky blends blue and white and gray in a striking heat lightning brew, bubbling behind the mountaintops of resortful living socialization, of the sibling saintly society, the making of a heritage. To the winner goes the spoils, or was that the winning spoils the winner? However it may go, we step over a canyon, take down a molehill, devour a cloud, kiss a valley, scoop up the birds that are hidden by the underbrush, camouflage, can't even spell that anymore. The word is hidden from me, meaningful murmurings set out upon the cold white morning while the heat seeps in slowly. I was in Arizona, so a lot of heat there, and that becomes your focus. But I love the heat lightning and the storms and the mountains and the clouds and so much drama in the skies of Arizona. So I was reflecting that in my thoughts, too.
Well, I saw a movie happening as you were speaking.
I'm known for doing that. I movie write.
Cynthia, did you have a comment? Yes, I see your fingers clicking.
I love the title. Yeah, snapping to say stuff I love. I love the title. Just the heart, how heartfelt the title is, and then the movie part too. But you had me at the title, and just thank you for that gift.
Thank you.
Are you, I know some of your poems, you've done pictures or worked with a photographer. Are you working with a filmmaker for bringing that one to life?
No, see, I have too many projects right now. And so the first one is not done, the 20-chapter novel. I'm in chapter 8 editing. I've decided to do an ebook called Adulting for the ADHD author, so that I can get some of my confusion out and to the world to help them as they struggle to be an author. And that was from a student, a former student is my life and writing coach right now. I don't know what else to call. It's really hard to put a title on her, and she's there in Arizona, moving to Texas, moving further away from me. And then my son came up with, why don't you turn your 20-page novel into a serial or novellas or novelettes? And I said, oh, that's a great idea. And then somebody said, remember, you're ADHD, you had to finish the first project, then you get to go to the second one, then you get to go to the third one, because you're notorious for just running around and not getting anything finished. So my goal is to continue to finish this suspense romance or romantic suspense. I can never figure out which way to put it. I keep flipping that back and forth. Suzanne's Secret Dance. And then I added Of Denial. And I'm not sure I'm going to keep that. But there, keep your eyes open. I'll show you when I'm ready.
Wonderful.
And thank you for the suggestions, though, because sometimes later on a suggestion surfaces from things that people make comments, and someone had commented I needed to talk about my struggle with technology as I was writing since 2001 on a novel. And I said, that's it, that's why I went to the ebook idea. So you never know when your little idea might be big in my head.
Well, it's time for Neil's second one, but Neil has an announcement of something that's happened with one of his books that have gone from something that he's talked about to something that's being published.
I have a new book, which is at the publisher. It's called The Brighton Tarot Card Mystery, which is another reason why I'm going back to school to get certified as a tarot reader. So The Brighton Tarot Card Mystery should be out within the next month. We're just looking at the cover now. That's the only thing that needs to be resolved. So I was going to offer my poem, if I'm next. I think I am. This was an answer to a request from Scarlett, who said she wanted a poem that says, "I am a tree." I am a tree. I am a living, conscious being. I live the same epoch as you. I am made of carbon atoms, same as you. I learn my lessons, same as you. I am born and I will die, same as you. Only the form we take is different. I am a tree. I am aware of my environment. I read the energy of the moment and understand. I feel my version, the same four emotions as you. I experience the vibrations of love and hate and sensitive of fear and sensations of fear and desire. I am a tree. Like all of existence, I seek out the plus vibrations that nurture my existence. All that exists are drawn to the positive and shun the dark energies of non-existence. All that exists intend for this positive experience of love. I am a tree. Each and every particle of me is dancing to the music of the energy of the universe. The stars call their sun, that cast a spell, that sings a vibration to all that can hear, and bang, a living, sparkling universe is born. I am a tree. I am a conscious, living being, aware of the energy of the black of yin and the white of yang, aware of the energy of pluses and minuses, of good and evil. Implicit in the existence of one is the other, which completes the duality of dark and bright we call life. I am a tree.
Wow. Clickety click click.
You wouldn't believe the noise that's behind me. It's done. I was having trouble focusing on my poem, so.
I especially like the energy of the universe with constant hurricane warnings, and my two sisters in the middle of those hurricanes, one in North Carolina, one in Florida. The energy of the universe is a little frightening to think about, because a hurricane itself is one little piece of the energy of the universe. So it's like, I, as soon as you said that sentence, I said, I can't even imagine this, you know. Then you're talking about the stars, and we're talking about the astronauts that haven't got home yet. And okay. So you took me away with the energy of the universe. I love that. Thank you.
I know that power quite well. I was in New Orleans when Hurricane Camille went through, and it is just absolutely terrifying. And at the same time, it's glorious. It is absolute glorious. It's thrilling.
I had the same feeling about thunderstorms and tornadoes in Illinois when I grew up. I loved the thunderstorms, but the tornadoes not so much, because we had to go to the basement, and that's where the toads are. And I hated the toads because they scared me. So now the tornado didn't scare me. The toads did. So I'll figure that one out.
Yeah, now growing up in Kansas and hearing stories about Dorothy, but I liked the way the earth felt before the lightning would crackle. It's like an energy that vibrates in your body, and then boom, the thunder, and then the just waves of different energy. As a child, I would want to run outside. My grandparents said, if you run around in the rain, you'll get struck by lightning. So I have resisted throughout life to the temptation to run outside. But I feel it, as you described it. Everybody that's talked about trees and nature, how being outside in nature does seem to revive something, maybe our creativity, maybe our adventurous. But I'm really impressed by how each of us this morning had something related to trees or the feel of nature or just the feel of humanity. And then those colors of orange and green. I have a poem that I wrote. Everybody's done their second one. And I have a poem that I just wrote. It's only a week old. And it was a birthday poem that I wrote for April Sumter, who is a woman here in Vancouver that gets very much involved in gender rights, mentoring people. And so this poem is called Awesome Acknowledgement of a Queen Sister's Birth. Awesome, polished, resoundingly resourceful, inspiring and loving, Queen Sister April generates change on this earth, eliciting and revealing its treasures with mirth. Accepting challenges with a velvet-covered cleaver, she continually generates solutions. She's a seeker. Supported 8 generations strong, togetherness is explored, reflected, and refined, making sure her ship is refined. Anchored across latitudes and longitude lines, her poems, songs, and sizzling stories change minds. Through this traveling troubadour of honesty, hope, and fun, people across cities, islands, and countries gain wisdom. Awesome, polished, resoundingly inspiring and loving, Queen Sister April, we salute your birthday unwinding. And so I'm thankful for, you talk about putting things that you intend to put in a book. I've written and delivered over 100 tribute poems over a 10-year period, and I've thought, wouldn't it be nice? You know, sometimes when you say, wouldn't it be nice, then the universe says, well, why don't you go and do it? Wouldn't it be nice to make a picture book of these people? Some have made their transition. Some of the tribute poems have been that, but I think sitting and feeling the person and sitting and imagining the person really helps to generate a poem tributing someone's life. Did any of you find that or had that experience? Cynthia?
Well, yeah, I love the chance to imagine. And I love your rhythms. And Neil's existentialism from before that, but they're the rhythms you conjure. Also, I also still have a poem if there's time. I haven't done my second
one
yet.
I was just getting ready to say that brings us to your second poem.
My second one is, should I go now or do people have feedback?
No, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll go ahead now. Sleeping with books is a nice way to end it, I think. This is a poem from my book, Rainforest in Russet. I work as a teacher and tutor during the day, and so I'd often come home at night after tutoring and be in bed with my books, and especially my feminist books and women's studies, just going, yes, 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 where political theory I agree with, progressive political theory. I didn't know how thin the walls are in the West End, that you can hear everything between walls, so I thought, I wonder if people hear me reading. So this is a tribute to books. Sleeping with books. Inhaling the exhilarating bouquet of new print by the golden glow of the reading lamp, I taste little pieces of prose, then fall all the way in, comforted in the texture of pages, soft as sun-warmed Belinda's dream roses, inviting the inscription of rebirth rhythms in the sleeve. Highlighters and ink stars bleed wildflowers across aqua-colored Egyptian cotton sheets. Water lilies blossom in the sapphire satin blanket, spirals of petals and sepals arising like northern lights over Greenland. Sipping jasmine tea in bed with my books, my soul unto itself, I speak aloud my deepest revelations of passion and awe, how much I love the home they are to me.
Thank you for sharing such an intimate experience. I was just feeling the covers and things in a different way. And to express it, to be bold enough to express how it feels to just be in your bed, it was beautiful. I want to have it that I can put on the wall and read. Or your audiobook, the way that you read in your voice, it takes you on a trip as you are speaking. So I'm speaking in the presentation, the publication of an audiobook with that poem and more. Dennis?
I was given a peace sign and an agreement sign and a yes, yes, yes. Send it to the universe that way, because her voice, once I said it earlier, was that the soothingness of it and the gentleness of her voice as she speaks these words, you feel it. It's the same thing that you're talking about. You feel Charlotte's rhythm through her words. It's the same type of thing. And each of us sometimes have been, critical of our own voices, because we don't really hear the way our voice sounds. That's one of our problems. But the second thing is, we are also, as children, you're too loud, or speak up, or shut up, or, you know, all the negativity things that have gone forward as you had a voice. And in school, kids laughing at you reading. And so to me, it's so important to support a person when their authentic voice comes out, and to say to them, oh, that's so wonderful. Even if they do a screaming poem, they're just yelling it. That's what they're trying to express is happening in them. So we want to celebrate that always, I really believe. This is what I did when I was publishing my book. I went to Home Depot, because the first time I did it over the phone, and it came to me. I got terrified of it. It was so big. I just didn't know what I was doing. So since then, and this is my own coloring art. Since then, now I found out it's not easy to edit like this at all. I found out that the laptop is the way to edit and not to do this. But I would like to read a couple of paragraphs.
Okay.
Chapter 1, opening Suzanne's Secret Dance. Chapter 1 is Women Waltz. Suzanne Haley Wintersong had wanted this to be the last first date. A dating dance gets old while dreaming about the real one. The guy that wants us to leave the others alone, makes our hearts flutter past the moon and chase it when it returns. Dates don't come along like that every day, and pretty soon they all look like rejects. Alex had fooled her for about a month. If Suzanne's friend Ellen hadn't clued her in, she would have been still messing with him. Ellen suspected he had a side chick, which means Alex was a two-timer. Then Suzanne saw him in the car that she was paying the car loan for. They weren't discussing the weather. Suzanne was not surprised, but furious, but she would give him another chance. So there you go, Suzanne's secret dance of denial, or I'm going to keep that as a, maybe that'll be the what they call the hook underneath there. And so I am just always excited when Charlotte does a pop-up. It's to see how we joined together and look, trees with everything, and we flowed together so easily. And so when you have the foundation that Charles gives us of keep the riff, I've heard people talk about they don't like getting into these groups because they got in one that, again, criticized either how they read or what they read about or what they talked about. So I just am so thankful to be in this space when Charlotte opens it up for us. I'm so grateful for her.
Gratitude to Charlotte for all of this.
Arnold and Janice, I just want to say, storytelling, the way that you, that last one, I was almost hearing people gossiping over to the side. Your voice shifts so that you can picture the different characters. So, yes, we go right here. I'm working on a project of audiobooks, of doing audiobooks. Jesse and I are studying and looking at some of the things that need to be done. So more than just saying it's time to do it, this will be
I'm planning to do audio of my book. I think I'm the best person to read the book, not anybody else. I just really, as I hear the computer read it to me, I know there are things that I have to do and put into it that is me. So that's down the line somewhere here. I don't know where, what day, what week, what month.
You'll get a call in the night and say... Charlotte and Jesse are recording. We're not doing any AI voices. No, this will be people, your own voice. But I want to thank each of you for popping up, popping in, sharing your beautiful work, as well as just lending ideas and strength to others. So I was thinking of the, how many of you all when you were children listened to the Mickey Mouse Club?
Well, I'm well before the Mickey Mouse Club. I have had children when, and my next birthday, I'm 85.
Wow. So,
thank you, God, for all this good health.
Yes.
I want to add to your comment, Charlotte, and that is that my son said to me recently how courageous I am that I've not only put my words out in the world with the first book, but that I'm weeks away or days away from my next book coming out. And my son said something, I just want to read the first paragraph of a poem called The Courage to Fear. It takes courage to allow the fear so the truth can be felt. It takes courage to speak so the truth can be heard. It takes courage to heal so the truth can be seen. And to be able to put those words on paper and share them on pop-up poetry is, thank you all for being so courageous. Cynthia and Janice and all the other poets that are out in the world that share their work. They put themselves out so they can be seen. So thank you, everyone. Charlotte, thank you for the opportunity. As scary as it is, thank you.
Scary from a man who believes so in his work. He rented a car and drove across North America through California. Through California at 65 miles an hour when people were going past him at 85, and I'm thinking, Lord have mercy.
That was in Los Angeles. That was on the freeway in Los Angeles. And Janice, when you were reading your poem about the mountains in Arizona, I know Arizona quite well. I drove there for over a month in Arizona. And you were spot on. I mean, thank you very much. You reminded me of driving over to Phoenix and and Sedona in Arizona and the mountains. Oh, thank you, God.
Thank you.
Okay, we will be sharing with our listeners again. This is the Suluau Show. Speak up, listen up. act upon. We speak up so that you can listen up and act upon what you've heard. So one thing is key, write your ideas down, express them, be brave enough to share them. Know that the monthly pop-up poetry opportunities we have are opportunities for you to overcome your fear and show that what other people might have said about your voice doesn't matter. Here's a place where you're welcome to share it. And I'll see you again next week at 10. And when people ask me what time it is, I say it's always love time, poem time.
Love time, poem time. Love time, poem time. Love time, poem time. Time for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time. Time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time. Time for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes, and play bassoon. Love time, poem time. Time for poems, poets, and singers. Time to untie all life's ringers. Poem time, love time. Time for you to reveal to me. Unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace. Rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words. Place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time. Poem time, love time. Love time, poem time. Times for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time. Time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time. Times for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time. Poem time, love time. Time for poems, poets, singers. Time to untie all life's ringers. Time for you to reveal to me. Unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace. Rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words. Place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time. Poem time, love time. Love time, poem time. Poem time, love time. Love time, poem time. Poem time, love time. Love time, poem time.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby. CJSF is diverse, independent, and yours. Underrepresented music, local voices, and real people. You keep CJSF independent.
This is Bird Note. Two robin-sized woodpeckers ascend the same massive pine trunk. The first woodpecker is tawny brown and cryptically patterned. The second is glistening black, boldly accented with white, yellow, and red. The two couldn't look more mismatched. But this is a mated pair of Williamson sapsuckers, a migratory species that nests in the mountain forests throughout much of the West. Their radically different plumages so confounded 19th century naturalists that, for nearly a decade, the birds were put down in the books as different species. Williamson sapsuckers share western forests with a dozen species of woodpeckers. Yet sapsuckers are unique among woodpeckers in drilling neat rows of tiny holes in the trunks of trees. Sap oozes very slowly from the holes, a food for the sapsuckers. The sap also acts like flypaper, snagging small insects collected by foraging hummingbirds and warblers. The conservation success of Williamson's sapsucker requires well-informed forest management. By allowing low-intensity fires to create open stands of large conifers, and by preserving clusters of old aspen snags, land managers can help create ideal nest trees for Williamson sapsuckers. The West wouldn't be the same without them. For BirdNote, I'm Michael Stein.